mentioned Rav Huttner, the founder of Yeshiva of Chayyar Berlin, his line, Nishnacha Yantav Avekna Nacha Yantav Harayim, that one's attitude that the Yantav is drawing to close should not be not the Yantav gone by, but not the Yantav gone in. And the way to absorb a Yantav, and the way to grow in a durable, permanent way from a Yantav, is to prepare ourselves in advance. And as we saw the other day when we began to learn Megillas Esther, if we use the minds that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to try to understand things more deeply, we'll discover a tremendous amount of lamdash depth and a tremendous amount of depth of theme and of thought and of feeling and of machshava. But turn our attention now, we had a chance to begin to work on the sugya of Mishloach Manos. The Gemara seems very straightforward. The Shulchan Aruch seems more or less straightforward. I want to look with a fresh eye at the famous Lamdisha conversation of the Chasam Sofer that I think some of you have heard in the past. And we'll open it up in terms of different afkaminas, and then we'll open it up beyond Mishloach Manos to see what perspective it gives us, maybe globally on Purim. So most of Masechus, the vast majority of Masechus Megillah is about many different things. But of the Purim parts of Masechus Megillah, the vast majority of the Purim parts of Masechus Megillah are about Mikra Megillah, how you write a Megillah, how you read the Megillah. And then here, the bottom of Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph, is essentially the sugya of the other three mitzvahs. We're going to be looking particularly at Mishloach Manos. The very bottom of Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph, at the two dots. Tanya of Yosef, the Amora of Yosef, recited a Braisa. Sounds like a Medrash, but it's quoting and commenting on Psukim. U'mishloach Manos ish l're'ehu. Shtei Manos l'ish echad. You're giving Manos ish l're'ehu. Manos is plural, re'ehu is singular. So the chiyuv is to give two Manos to a single person. You want to give Mishloach Manos to more than two people, you can. You want to give more than two Manos to any one person, you can. But the chiyuv is to pick one person and to give him at least two Manos. U'matanos le'evyonim, le'shtei matanos le'shnei b'nei adam. Matanos le'evyonim, it's insufficient to give to one ani. You have to extend yourself to at least two impoverished people on Purim. Question?
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah say that it's because you should give more to a poor person?
We're getting there. You're absolutely right, Nadav, that this most basic din is perhaps finds a certain degree of expression in the Rambam that we take a look at later. The Rambam talks about how you triage and how you prioritize your spending. How you budget for Purim, Rambam says you should be budgeting more for Matanos Le'evyonim for Mishloach Manos. And so that may be reflecting the fact that even in terms of the Rambam is talking about when I have extra, I'm able to do more, where should I be, how should I be allocating the discretionary amount? But you're pointing out correctly, even in terms of the basic chiyuv, Matanos Mishloach Manos is a chiyuv only to one person, Matanos Le'evyonim, I'm ready mechiyuv to extend myself to two people.
Means at least 2 to 1.
Right.
But the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's not like that.
No, the way we know this din is is through the language of the... You read the language of the Pasuk in Parak Tes of the Megillah, you see that the Pasuk is teaching us that you have a chiyuv to give gifts to a person and you have a chiyuv to give donations to two people. The Mishnah Berurah is commenting, well, what's the rationale for that? The Megillah taught me that din. What idea lies behind that din? And then the Gemara goes on to tell a Mishloach Manos story or two. Rav Yehuda Nisiyah Shadlei Rav Shaya. Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, probably a grandson of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. He's also named for the grandfather of Yehuda. He was also a Nasi. See, he sends to Rabbi Hoshaya, Atma de Igla Tilsa, the Garba de Chamra. He sends him a side of veal, and of the finest quality veal. The Tkufas Chazal, the assumption was that the third was the finest, the choicest meat. What's the third? You hear this, Igla Tilsa, from time to time, third calf. So you hear this from time to time. So Rashi writes here, as I believe he does elsewhere as well, Shlishi Lebetim. The assumption was that the third in the family, there you go, that the third in the family was the third in the bovine family was the tastiest meat. Okay, so Bekitzer, he sent him a large, big steak. A big steak of grade AA meat. Grade AA veal. And Garber Dechamra, and a barrel of wine. That's a pretty significant Mishalach Manos. This is the chief rabbi, Rehudah Nesiah. Sent him one of the Gedolei Hadar. Rabbi Hoshaya had been the one of the star Talmidim of his grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he sends him a very significant Mishloach Manos. Shalach Lei, so Rabbi Hoshaya sends him a letter back. Thank you very much. Kiyamta banu rabbeinu u'mishloach manos ishrayehu u'matanos le'evyonim. You sent, you were makayin two mitzvahs at once. You killed two birds with one stone. Apparently Rabbi Hoshaya was poor. They said, you gave me Mishloach Manos, and that was also matanos le'evyonim. Right? And Rashi, like right away, he's learning the Gemara, you notice there are a lot of olives. There's one olive sending you to the Bach, there's one olive sending you to the Vimagon. Before you even get to that, you read Rashi. Now, the olive of the Bach and the olive of the Gra presumably means there are some girsa changes that are possible. Sometimes the Vimagon just comments on a Macholkus Rishonim, but usually, like the Bach, he's telling you about alternative girsos. But even before you get to the Bach and the Gra, you look at Rashi. This is a gersologically rich line in Rashi. He has two different comments about Gersa. Take a look, the top Rashis. Hey Gimel stands for Hachi Garsinan. Here's the Gersa. Here's the Gersa means, well, there's another Gersa that Rashi doesn't like. So let's, what does Rashi say? Kiyamta banu rabbeinu u'mashloach manos. Zahatre manos ikka. You are makai mashloach manos because you sent me two manos. And what was Achi Garcina? That's what our Gemara says too. So maybe no Matan Sevyonim. And then the next Rashi, Hodar Shalach Le'ihu Lo Garcina Le'hacha. The words, there should be quotes surrounding the first four words in Rashi. Open quotes. Hodar Shalach Le'ihu, he then sent him. Rashi says, Lo Garcina Le'hacha. That does not belong here. The Gemara goes on, the next couple lines have other stories. Amoram sending each other Mishloach Manos, resending Mishloach Manos. Rashi says, but that line doesn't belong here. Now, of course, if he tells you that line doesn't belong here, what does that tell you? Someone else thought it does belong here. Right? There was a Girsa that had more to this story. More to the story. So what was the more to the story? What else could the Gemara be telling us? To take a look at the Bach, and let's take a look at the Gon. Then we'll take a look at one other Perush in the margin of the Gemara. So the Bach over here, the Ksav Rashi Aleph in the round parentheses, so he says, Mishloach Manos Ishrayehu. And that's the end of the story. No Matanos Avyonim, as he goes on to say, Kaf Tzai Lam is Kain Tzarev Lomar, Betevos Umatanos Avyonim Nimchak. The Bach says, Matanos Avyonim doesn't apply here. Why Matanos Avyonim not apply? Why was it that inappropriate? Because he's, as you say, he's only one person. As Rashi stressed, I'm Makai Mishloach Manos because you sent me two Manos. But the two that you need for Matanos Avyonim is not two Matanos, it's two people. I'm only one person. Okay. Now, of course, what might bother you about what Rashi says, Rashi and the Bach's approach is, well, okay, he has a family. Good. And when he has a family, he could have shared it with the rest of them. Well, it's par matan. If he indeed is poor, it's half of matan sevyonim. Right. Good point. Right. Right. You're halfway. You've done a part of matan sevyonim. Whoever has a gear so matan sevyonim doesn't think that you are that Rabbi Hoshaya is disagreeing with the foregoing brisa. Right? And there's another larger question, which is, don't just think about kashas, specific kashas. What's the point? Right? According to the Girsa Rashi in the Bach, what's the chiddush? So one amora sent another amora two servings of food, and he said, "You mekayim shalach manos shkayach." What's the chiddush in that? Unless you mean to say that Rabbi Yoshaya was agreeing with the brisa that Rabbi Yosef quoted, that mishloach manos is enough to give to one person. Maybe. Okay. Not, it doesn't seem like a particularly gripping chiddush, but maybe it's ma'aserah. Rabbi Yosef said over a brisa, you should know there that's where Yoshaya paskin. Okay. Okay, good. Kiyam Tabanim, which Rashi has as well. Now the Vilna Gaon also, what does he say? Umata here, the Vilna Gaon is always marked by the non-Rashi font in the square brackets. Umata nosa avyonim, it's in parentheses, Taf Aleph Mem. It's good to know what these Rashi Tevos mean. Taf Aleph Mem stands for Tevos Elu Mechukim. These words are erased. You'll see that a lot in Bach and Grah and others who deal with gear stations. Taf Aleph Mem. Tevos Elu Mechukim. And then in parentheses, also, oh wow, it's a whole string of Rashi Tevos there. V'chaf Mem is V'chein Mashma Mei Rashi D'lamed Gimel D'lo Garsinlo. Vilna Gaon pointed out what you guys pointed out, which is Rashi doesn't say explicitly what Girsa change he's making, but Rashi sounds like his point with Avi Arsinan is to drop the Matanos Levyon. Now we're still wondering, by the way, what was that other Girsa that Rashi alluded to that had around two? And there was some other Girsa Rashi doesn't accept that had Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah sending a second set of Mishloach Manos. Now, if you're sending a second set of Mishloach Manos, that means the first one wasn't good enough. So take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel. We'll start from the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Chananel is the outside margin. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, here in this newly reprinted Gemara, so they bold the lines in the Rabbeinu Chananel, they're actually quoted in the Gemara, so it makes it a little simpler. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyahu shalach l'Rabbi Yoshaya, yerech shel egel shlishi la'beten, v'kan kan yayin. He conveniently translates the Aramaic into Hebrew for us, which Rabbeinu Chananel will sometimes do. Right? So Yehuda Nisiyahu sends to Rabbi Yoshaya, as we said before, a large steak. Maybe steak might even be the right word, need a butcher, but a thigh. A large, no doubt delectable chunk of choice meat. And kankan yayin, right? A barrel or a bottle of wine. Shalach lei, watch what happens now. Shalach lei, kiyamta banu rabbeinu, umatanos avyonim. You're a mekayim, matanos avyonim. Ouch. Now that's definitely a clear girsa change from Rashi's girsa. In other words, you're a mekayim, matanos avyonim. The ouch is not Mishloach Manos. Someone gets up and gives an Ian cheer, and you go over and say, "That was nice Bekiah cheer." Right, so that's some people take that as a compliment, and some people would not. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, picture the scene. Rabbi Yehuda, the chief rabbi, sends the elder Talmud Chacham, Zakan HaRabbanim, this incredibly expensive, very distinguished Mishloach Manos, a large piece of choice meat, a barrel of wine, no doubt it was fine wine, and he says, "That was nice Matanos Avyonim." What just happened? As a matter of fact, in this copy the bottom got cut off, that aleph, and with the one parenthesis, he sends it to the bottom where they comment that some of Farsha were wondering, well, why wasn't he Mekayim Mishloach Manos? Kolomar, well, let's keep reading Rabbeinu Chananel. Kolomar, Nisines Avyonim Nasatali. You gave me Matanos Avyonim style gift. Rabbi Shai might not even have been poor. He was just saying, that's how you give Mishloach Manos. That's how you give Matanos Avyonim. What was wrong? It wasn't expensive enough. It wasn't nice enough. It wasn't big enough. What is that? That's how Rabbi Shai would speak. Chas v'shal. What's he saying? You gotta read Rabbeinu Chananel very carefully. Nasatali mona achas v'hi hayarech. You only gave me one mana. that Matal Zev. Matal Zev Yonim, you give a single gift to an Ani, then you go over to another Ani, you give him a single gift. Matanos Avyonim. Shtei Matal Zev Avyonim means one Matana each to each of two Avyonim. So he's saying to him, Mashach Manos has to be two Manos. You only give me one Mano. So that's Matal Zev Avyonim style. It may not that it wasn't the same meant sarcastically. I mean, there was some Purim spirit. But he said, that's the way you give Matal Zev Avyonim. And I know that's not what you want to do. You got to give me Shalom Manos. You're going to give me Shalom Manos. You got to give me, as we just read in the Brisa that Yosef quoted, two Manos. And that was just one. Chazar Shalach Lo, and here's the end, here's the alternative Girsa that Rashi was rejecting, but Rabbi Hanan will accept. Chazar Shalach Lo, Egel, Begimel, Kakana, Yain. Then he sent him a whole calf and another three barrels of wine. And that apparently did the trick. Now, of course, the obvious question, now we're not worried for Rebbe Chananel, what's the chiddush? Worried for Rebbe Chananel, the other extreme is not that this is so obviously true, but right, we can't understand why is it true. What was wrong? Rebbe Chananel just said, you only gave me one mana. He gave him one mana. The Gemara said he gave him a piece of meat and a barrel and a bottle of wine. That's two mana. That's two manos. And then he turns around and gives him more meat and more wine, and that's okay. Makarepo. Intriguing. You read Rebbe Chananel carefully, what do you see? He gives us a hint. How is the meat and the wine only one mana? What does he say? So why is it just one thing? I bet it's two. The meat is the only thing. He says, you only get one mana, which is the yarech. The wine didn't... Oh, so apparently Rebbe Chananel holds that you have to give... Rebbe Chananel, the chiddush of this Gemara, is you have to give solid food. Drinks don't count. That's not a mana. So Rebbe Shaya sent him more meat and more wine, and now he sends him meat and more meat, so between the first meat and the second meat, so that was two manos of meat. Fascinating. I'm sorry?
Does that answer the question?
Oh, he gave him two portions of meat. So the first portion of meat and the second portion of meat together. Right. So what you're thinking is, number one, this is a Raya Brura. And by the way, let's take a peek. The Rambam is typically aligned with the Rif and Reina Chananel. So when you see something interesting about Chananel, it's a good idea to take a peek at the Rambam and see if he reflects this as well. So we'll come back to this Rambam in greater depth and breadth in a couple of moments. But for now, let's jump into the third line of Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav, Hilchos Megillah in the Rambam. V'chein chayev adam l'shloach shtei mano shel basar o shnei minei tavshil o shnei minei ochlin. Rambam gives a very clear hierarchy. You should give two portions of meat, or two different types of cooked food, or two different foods. And ideally, you should give the guy two steaks, two salamis, or else you could give a potato kugel and a roll, a potato kugel and ratatouille, or you could give carrots and celery. Shnei mini ochel. Non-tavshil. There's a clear sense of hierarchy. Ideally meat. If not meat, then some cooked. Two types of cooked food. Two tavshilim. If not meat. And we've heard of two tavshilim in the past. That's we hear about them from time to time as a suda chashuva. Right? Let's say in the context of what you cannot eat for suda mafsekes. And what you do put aside, perhaps according to some, for Erev Tavshilin, that's Machlokes, whether you need Shein Tavshilin or not for Erev Tavshilin. And if not, then two foods, not even Tavshilin. Now you notice several things about this Rambam. Number one, what's at the top of the list? Meat, which is what Rabbi Shaya said. What's at the bottom of the list? Food, uncooked food. What's below the bottom of the list? Drinks. Drinks don't appear. He's very clear that drinks are not on the list. Where did that come from? Presumably, he is working off of Reina Chananel. Presumably, he had Reina Chananel's Girsa. Again, as I said in the past, The Rambam doesn't directly comment on Gemaras. He's not going to tell you in the Mishnah Torah, oh, I have this girsa, I have that girsa. He's not writing a parish on the Gemara. But we can deduce from the Piske Halacha that he provides us, how did he read and interpret the Gemara. So it seems pretty clear, between the fact that it's Rebbeinu Chananel versus Rashi, we already would guess the most likely the Rambam would be aligned, that was his Masorah, for Rifa Rebbeinu Chananel. And then the way he presents it sounds pretty clear that the Rambam accepted the same girsa that Rabbeinu Chananel did. And then the Gemara goes on to talk about other Amoraim who sent various sets of Mishloach Manos to each other. And they say it has to be Mechubad. It has to fit who you are. You have to give an appropriate Mishloach Manos. And that's the next couple of stories are probably the basis for the Rambam's priority, the notion of having a hierarchy. That meat isn't just an example, that meat, or else, tafshilin, or else, ochlin, that comes from the next couple of lines. Let's, for now, see the last, let's skip down a few lines, right before the two dots. Before Chai Vinish Levasume, we'll get to that, Mir Tzashem, between now and Purim. But for now, the line before that. Like 10, 15 lines down, Zayinim Abayz, right before the two dots, Abaye bar Oven, Rabbi Chanina bar Oven, Machlevisu dasayu lahadadi. Those two Amoraim, who sounds like may have been brothers, Abaye the son of Oven and Rabbi Chanina the son of Oven, assuming that was the same Oven, obviously they're brothers or two different people. But these two Amoraim, Machlevisu dasayu lahadadi. They would swap Su'udos with one another. They would swap su'udos with one another. Interesting. So that's what the Gemara has to tell us about Mishloach Manos. There are two manos to one person, and the Gemara talks about meat, the Gemara talks about wine, a machlokas rishonim, clear machlokas rishonim, whether wine is acceptable or not. Rashi clearly holds it is, and Rebbeinu Chananel is almost explicit that it is not. And then you have the Gemara about, the Gemara proceeds, as we said, to talk about picking an appropriate Mishloach Manos, and the Gemara talks about the Hachlofas Seudos, which we will come back to. Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch for a moment. Let's open Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says the same siman discusses Seudas Purim and Mishloach Manos, and that we will see soon in a few minutes where that comes from. But the siman Tafresh Tzadi Hei begins with Seudas Purim, and the final Se'if, Tafresh Tzadi Hei, Se'if Dalet, is Mishloach Manos. What does he say? Chayv l'shoch l'chaveirosh te'manos basar o shalmine ochlem shenemar u'mishoch manos ishreyush te'matanos l'ish echad. So that was a merging of the Rambam and the Gemara. Right? He gives us the shtey the Rav Yosef's braisa shtey matas shtey manos l'ish echad and gives us a shortened version of the Rambam's hierarchy. Basar, or else, ochel. It sounds like that would be ideal. As an aside, by the way, there's this one of the great halachic urban legends is that you need to have two brachos in your Mishloach Manos. But that's clearly incorrect because the ideal Mishloach Manos, according to both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and according to Rebbeinu Chananel, the way Rav Ishai was Makai Mishloach Manos was by giving meat and more meat. And meat is always Shahakal. So that clearly is an urban legend. You do not have to give two different brachos. It could be that you have to give, if you're not giving meat, you have to give two different types of food. If you read the language of the Rambam and the Mechaber, they talk about meat, they say two manos of meat, two portions. And after Rebbeinu Chananel's gear says he gave him part of an egel, then he gave him a whole egel. More of the same. But by the Tavshah and the Olchim, they say not two manos, but two minim. So it is conceivable that if you're outside of meat, you have to give two different types of food, but you don't have to give two different brachas.
How do you measure a
mana? I'm sorry?
How does one measure a mana as a meat?
I don't know, maybe the amount that one person would have at a suda? Let's see. Let's see where this takes us. V'chalmar shechnar continue v'chalmar b'lishlach l'reim mishubach. You want to give more. The minimum is to give two manas to one person. You want to give more manas, you want to give to more people. That's lovely. Chalmabar is a meshubah. Definitely is value to giving to more people. There's value to giving more than two manos. But you're mekayim yachiyuv by giving one gift of two manos to one person. Then ain lo. Then it quotes the shulchan. Quotes the last line of the Gemara. Machalifim chaveiro. Then you have to swap. I can't afford. This is something that Baruch Hashem is far from the typical American Jewish experience. There definitely is a range of affluence and poverty in the American Jewish community, but to not have enough to be able to afford a single set of Mishloach Manos is something that certainly is not common in the contemporary American Jewish experience. Now, if this sounds foreign to you, so Baruch Hashem. In Ein Lo, if you can't afford a single set of Mishloach Manos, I don't have $3. I don't have a free $3 to spare for Purim. I'm already putting out for obviously a pretty basic Sudas Purim, and to buy two basic manos to give to someone else. I'm not talking about basar. Sounds like we're talking about a carrot and celery. If I can't afford that, so then zeh sholeach machlif chavero. That's what the Gemara said. The two bar ovens. You switch. What does it mean to switch? Shachar says zeh sholeach lo zeh sudasal. I'm going to have to put together some sort of basic Sudas Purim. You'll put together some sort of basic Sudas Purim. And then we'll flip. And I'll eat your Suda, you'll eat my Suda. And we're Makayim Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos. Kedei lekayim Mishloach Manos ishtomehim. Okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And then Ramah goes on to talk about the following. He says you have to do it by Yom, not by Laila. All the four mitzvahs of Purim apply by Yom. Mikra Megillah is Balayla as well. But by Yom you have to have Mikra Megillah and Mishloach Manos and Mantalas of Yom and Su'udas Purim, which is an important aside. The Rishonim have a discussion about Su'udas Purim the night before. But everyone agrees, and that's not widely accepted. You want to eat the night before, no one's going to stop you. But certainly Su'udas, the Chiyuv of Su'udas Purim is by Yom, meaning as opposed to having your Suda the night before and as opposed to having your Suda the night after. But that sometimes gets complicated because if different people are getting together for Suda, sometimes different people have different senses of timing. And everyone understands the Shabbos has to start before Shkia. But sometimes, Baruch Hashem, that's Chiyuv Skila. Sometimes people are not as sensitive to the fact that the Suda's Purim has to start before, ideally should be in large part, before Shkia. So when Yom Mitzvah be running your own homes and your own tables, so you'll make sure to start your Sudas Purim 2-3 hours before Shkia. And Baruch Hashem, you have to point your life when you're not running your own house, your own table, so you're not setting the schedule. So you'll work with the schedule as stated. Maybe the schedule as stated already is in line with this. Or if not, maybe you can have a friendly conversation about this. Can we rethink the timing? And if not, so you shouldn't put up a big fight. You should just see if you can personally wash a little earlier, eat a little before, and then everything should be besimcha. If everyone wants to join you in washing before Shia, Givaldik. If not, it's fine. They'll do what they do. And you can see if you can, with finesse, either mamish wash in the morning, and have some flesh and bench. And then whatever suda you have later is icing on the cake. Or see if you can wash at the suda a little bit up a few minutes earlier. Wash a few minutes earlier. You don't have to make a big deal of it. You quietly wash a few minutes earlier. You get started. You chop some meat in the kitchen without worrying the people who are managing the suda's Purim enterprise. And then you join everyone else and be mesameach. That's something for you personally to keep your eye on. So all the mitzvahs have to be by yom, including mishloach maos, not the night before, not the night after. Okay. Then the Ramah says, here's a, sounds like a strange situation. Shaleach maos l'avirei eyu v'hu eino rotza l'kablam. So I send someone, shaleach maos, he doesn't want them. Mochelo. Or maybe he says, I'm mochel. So where does that leave me? So if you're giving five mishloach maos to 5,000 people, so one guy didn't take it, the four did, but no shayla. Let's say, no one wanted my mishloach maos this year. Each. Or, I only planned to give one mishloach maos this year, and he said, thank you, but no thank you. So where does that leave me? Hopefully he's being friendly about it, but where does that leave me? So what would you, so let's say I came to shul. I thought there was an 8 o'clock meeting in the late Megillah. It turns out I was totally wrong. I was looking at 8 p.m., not 8 a.m., and I missed minyan, I missed Megillah. I came to shul, and they said, we're sorry, we're done. Was I yotzei mikra Megillah? Of course not. Again, if it's mamish, if I don't own a Megillah, I don't know how to read Megillah. There's no Megillah in town. I missed my only opportunity. I'm stuck without any option of mikra Megillah. Own a tzrachamana patre. I won't be punished in Shamayim if I had no choice. I made a legitimate mistake. I have no other way out now. I have no choice. I'll just rock him on a patron. But no one's going to say that you were Yotzei for the post that you showed the post intent to assume. Oh, that's Rahmana Patre, but Lav Kaman the Avidam. If you're honest, you have no choice, so then you're not, you're Patre. You're not liable for having been involved in the mitzvah. But it's not Kaman the Avid. It's not as though you did the mitzvah. Okay, you're off the hook. You wouldn't say you were Mekai Mekar Megillah. So if I said, I showed, I knocked on the guy's door, and I gave him a Shalach Manos, and he says, no, thank you. I don't even have so many. Or he says, oh, those were Shalach Manos. Someone else already gave me the same ones. And then I re-gifted them, and here, if those were following Kichels, the Kichels did a poor takeoff on the famous Norman Rockwell painting of the Gossip. They follow the regifting Shalach Manos. Right? The guy says, I think I did Shalach 3 times. No, thank you. But I want to give you a Shalach Manos. So you would think, for sure, I'm not Yotze. Maybe if he's the only Jew in town, only Shalach Manos Patre. I have no other way of giving a Shalach Manos. And if there is another Jew in town, I have to go knock on his door. But sure, I'm not Yotze because I tried. And yet the Ramah says, what does Ramah Paskin? Yotze. You tried. You're good. Very strange. Very, very, very strange. So strange, and the Mishnah Berurah says that the Pri Chadash thought it was strange, and the Chasam Sofer thought it was strange. And the Chasam Sofer you have in the Maror Mekamos, Chasam Sofer says, he doesn't say in the Ramah, well, what type of Yotze? You're Yotze because you tried. Yotze because you tried. Yotze because you tried. So this is Chasam Sofer is famous for bringing in Rishon Malkabetz in Talachic literature. Whoever heard of Shlomo Malkabetz, you heard of Shlomo Malkabetz because he wrote L'Chadodi. And he wrote Sefer Machshavim. And he wrote a Sefer on Megillas Esther, the Manos HaLevi, which in most Batei Medrash is known for exactly one thing that he said. I'm sure he heard many, many beautiful, rich, profound Chidushim in the Sefer Manos HaLevi, but there's exactly one line that's famous in yeshivas, and it was made famous by this Chasam Sofer. The Maros HaLevi says, let's be medayik a little more in the language of Ish L'Re'ehu. Not only Re'ehu means one, and the minimum shear is to give Mishloach Manos to one person, but Re'ehu is also a sense of not only procedure and process, but objective. And the objective, Maros HaLevi says, the objective of Mishloach Manos is to make him Re'ehu, to create and enrich friendship. Their goal in Mishloach Manos, the Manos HaLevi says, and you see the Chasam Sofer goes, is the harbors HaShalom V'Areis. To increase the Shalom, to increase friendship, to increase Achdus, and why is that specific? It's always a good idea. Why is that specifically a Purim Mitzvah? Hefech, Margilaster Shel Hatzar Sha'omar Mefuzer Mefurad. Haman said that we're all disparate, and we're fragmented, and we're fractured. Not just that we were geographically spread, but that the Jews weren't getting along, and they'd splintered. So the Chasam Sofer found this line 200 years earlier. Rosh Hashanah Kabbalah was part of the same Tzfat Chever that included Rav Yosef Karo and the Arizal and the Shita Mekubetzes and the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Alshech. So Chasam Sofer says, look back at the 1500s. Maros HaLevi has this line. Shalach Manos is about Reba Reyes. So the Chasam Sofer says, I think that is a halachic statement. That's not just time and dekra. The Chasam Sofer thinks that Maros HaLevi is making a halachic statement. Yesh lomar kevin shesholach veher achibaso afa bishazem mochelo kvar yatza. Then it could be that you did do the mitzvah. It's not like showing up to shul and they're not reading Megillah. You did the mitzvah. Well, how did you do the mitzvah? So Chasam Sofer says, maybe the mitzvah is not that he takes it. The mitzvah is to offer it. You offered Mishloach Manos. Mishloach. You sent. You did your part. You sent it. He didn't accept it. But the mitzvah is to give. Why is the mitzvah to give? Because that's the idea that Chasam Sofer develops, that maybe the mitzvah Mishloach Manos is a gesture. It's a friendly gesture. It's a friendly gesture. So if it's a friendly gesture, you did do the mitzvah. He didn't accept it. He doesn't want it. You eat it. But you did the mitzvah was to offer, and offer you did. And the truth is, as different achronim look at this Chasam Sofer and point out there are a whole host of issues, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different issues in Mishloach Manos that fall into place based on whether or not you accept this Manos HaLevi. Because there are a lot of questions that one could ask. We already began to talk a little bit about what you give for Mishloach Manos. And we're beginning to talk now about how you, the process, the mass of actually giving the Mishloach Manos. And then there are other questions also in terms of the timing of Mishloach Manos. And all of them may organize around this idea. You see, the Mishnah Berurah earlier quoted that the Shulchan Aruch was quoting Rambam. Let's move back from the Rambam to the Mechaber. The Mechaber, as we saw, had quoted the Rambam. You have to give Shnei Manos Vasar, Shnei Mini Ochlin. So the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkatan Yud Ches, and Sivkatan Chaf, he says, Mini Ochlin, Velo Begadim Ushare Dvarim, but not clothing or other things, but who I did Mashke. But drinks do count. My drinks do count. That's Rashi against Rabbeinu Chananel. Not clothing, not other things. Where does that come from? That's a very, very famous Truman Sadeshan, made famous by the Chasam Sofer. The Truman Sadeshan has this question. I should give everyone candy. Everyone gets so much candy. You heard this. Everyone gets so much candy. So what? I'll give something exciting. I'll give you clothing. I'll give you a shirt. What would you rather have? A lot of candy or a couple of Charles Tiller shirts? Right? Or Zohar Chaim shirts? Oh. What would you rather have? What would you rather have? Even more Mike and Ike's or a classy silk tie? A gift card to Amazon, right? The answer to everyone's Mishloach Manos problem is give gift cards. The rest of the year, everyone's moving towards gift cards. How about gift cards for Purim? Can you give a gift card for Mishloach Manos? So the Trumas Hadeshen in 15th century Germany deals with this question. We want to give clothing. That's a nice gift. I'll give you a nice shirt, give you a nice tie, bold socks. What's not to like? Oh! So the Truman Sadeshan says, nothing doing. Yerod de Yotzeben. He says, you're not Yotze. Why? The Nira Tamim Mishloach Manos is Kadeshe L'chol Echad Dai V'Safek L'Kaim Hasuda Kedina. The Truman Sadeshan says, you know what that point of Mishloach Manos is? Not like the Manos HaLevi, who lived 100 years after him, who says it's about friendship, but instead it's about providing for the other fellows, Sa'uda. And he says, you know what? Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's see what Truman Sadeshan has to say about the Rambam, and let's look back ourselves at the Rambam. The Chen Dikdik, in the last paragraph of the Truman Sadeshan. The Chen Dikdik at Rambam Belashono. The Rambam was very precise in his use of language, right? The Truman Sadeshan. Maybe Israel. Or for the Truman Sadeshan.
Shekosa, Rabbi wrote, the chai will show of shtei mosha, basa or shtei mine tamshil, or shtei mine ofa. Right? If you get two portions of meat or two types of cooked food, two foods.
And then he throws in a parenthetical note to his addition, v'nira d'shni b'cha achila. Seems to me that drinking should be included as well. Again, if you look at Rabbi Chanano, then you get a different impression of what the Rambam may be driving at. Uv matanz lev yonim, Shmuel's edition continues, kosav ma'os o mini mechon. When it comes to matanz lev yonim, he was explicit, money or food. Here, he only talks about different categories of food, alma de gav mishloach mano savar davka midi de michli. Comparing and contrasting, now let's open up the Rambam, comparing and contrasting halacha tezvav, which Ray took a peek at, with halacha tes zayin, about matan sev yonim, ma'os omine tavshil, omine ochlin, that don't you see the contrast by matan sev yonim? It doesn't have to be food, it could be money. Here it's clearly, specifically, food. That's what the Trumas HaDeshen writes. Now, the truth is, Rabosai, the truth is it goes even farther. Let's actually open up the whole Rambam and take a look. Let's back up to halacha, the beginning of halacha tezvav, and we'll see something remarkable. And it all hangs on one word. Keitzar chova su'uda zu. What is this? He's in the middle of the halachas of Sudas Purim. You see the previous line, the last line of halacha Yadal was about Sudas Purim ba'alayla lo yatza. Keitzar chova su'uda zu. How does this, how do you go about fulfilling this su'uda? You eat meat and you make a fine su'uda, a beautiful su'uda, according to your budget. A person is of more modest means, you make a nice su'uda within more modest means. A person has more discretionary funds, so then you can allocate more towards your su'uda sperm. But whatever is appropriate, not to go beyond your means, but not to undershoot either. This is a time to appropriately spend some money. Suda's Purim should be nice. It's interesting language. Right? Basar, and in general, nice food. So far, that's the menu. And he goes on to talk about drinking wine as well. You have basar, you drink yayin. It sounds like more, that should be familiar, by the way, basar yayin. That's the classic official, right? That's Suda's Yantif. Simchas Yantiv is Basar V'Yayin. The Rambam seems to be saying that this is going to be a Sudas Yantiv, you get Basar V'Yayin, and moreover, he seems to say, it's going to be deluxe Basar and deluxe Yayin. We take a Sudas Yantiv plus a nice amount of Basar and other food, and a significant amount of wine. We'll get back later on to the Rambam's approach to drinking on Purim, but it's very clearly, entirely within the context of Sudas Purim. It's almost like a shear. There's always Basar V'Yayin every Sudas Yantiv. There's a, so to speak, a bigger shear. A more robust Basar V'Yayin at the Sudas Purim. And then, what's the very next word? V'chein. What does V'chein mean? And so too. And so too, etc., etc. The rest of the Rambam we saw already. What's with the v'chein? He doesn't say v'chein and be halacha tezayin. He doesn't say v'chein chayev l'chalek l'adim b'yom apurim. No, it's a new mitzvah. Matalas avyon. What's with the v'chein? You have to have a suras purim, and so too to send manos ish l're'ehu. What it sounds like, if you read the Rambam sensitively, is that it's not really a separate mitzvah at all. It's really exactly another example he just described. He just said that the chiyuv of kitzet chova suda zu. How do you have this sudas purim? It's every sudas yontav is basar yayin, but here it's more expanded. More expanded in terms of your own suda. You're going to have more basar and more yayin, the Rambam writes. And again, there are most Rishonim have less yayin, the Rambam describes, but clearly in terms of how he's thinking about the suda, it's basar yayin expanded. In one dimension, you're having more basar and more yayin, and then it's expanded in another dimension, that not only are you having a large, robust su'uda, but you're also going to be a part of other people's su'udos. Which explains why item number one in the list, the ideal item for Mishloach Mos, according to Rambam, is? What's the ideal item for
meat?
Oh, exactly. So Rambam says ideal is basar. Why? Because basar is the one food item which is on the official menu of Sudas Purim. Sudas Purim could involve many things besides basar, and probably will, and so which is why you could give other tafshilim as well, which is also a fish al kidin, a su'uda food, like we said before. Shein tafshilin is the halachic definition of a su'uda chashuva. The simchas yantif requires basar yayin. But your minimal su'uda chashuva is shnei tafshilin, so you understand well the Rambam's hierarchy here. Because the idea is not just I'm giving you something. If it was just a question of reyus, a friendship, so you could give whatever, anything that's nice. But the goal for the Rambam, as the Truman Zesha pointed out, is to provide for some suda. So in that case, the ideal is basar. Zakai points out correctly, you would have also expected to hear basar or yayin, except that the Rambam accepts Rebbeinu Chananel's girsa, and that he seems to understand that the word mana means a portion of food. A drink wouldn't be called a mana. So being that the Megillah describes it as manos, so manos by definition means portions of food. So yayin is out, but the only other item that's officially on the required menu of the Sudas Purim is basar, so it's either basar or tafshilin or ochel. And then, take question in a couple of moments, this chakira over the what's the overall objective and theme of Mishloach Manos? Is it to provide for the other person's seuda, or is it to make the friendly gesture, ribui reyes? So it plays out in many different ways. So let's go through the list. And number one, that the Chasson Sofer suggests that the Manos Halevi would disagree with this Rambam and Trumas Hadesha in terms of what you give. In terms of what you give, so he suggests that the Manos Halevi would be comfortable with giving money, with giving a gift card, with giving clothing, with giving something else. It's all about the friendly gesture, like a birthday present. A birthday present could be a cake, or it could be something else. It doesn't have to be food. It's the thought that counts, right? And then certainly the focus on basar, number two, as we said, is very specific to seeing it as an extension of the Seuda. The Poskim also point out, point number three, is that not only does it have to be food, but it has to be food which could be edible by the time you get to the Seuda. So if you deliver a raw steak 20 minutes before Shkia, Poskim assume you're not Mekayim Mishloach Manos, because there is no way for that to be edible within 20 minutes. It takes longer than 20 minutes to turn, to grill a steak to the point it's even minimally edible. And then, number four, we spoke about already, is a situation where the fellow doesn't want to accept it. The Ramaz Kula, so again, the Chasam Sofer suggests Ramaz Kula is based in Ramaz Halevi, and that the Mechaber perhaps would disagree, because the Mechaber is aligned with the Trumos Hadeshin. Number five, it might even be a machlokes rishonim on the page. Because let's go back to a gemara that we saw before. Remember the two bar ovens? Where machlokes b'sudasai v'hadon. We saw the Shulchan Aruch said, yeah, that means that each one sends the other one his sudas purim. That's very nice. Where the Rambam, where the Mechaber get that from? He got that from the Rambam. The Rambam writes at the end of Halacha Tezvav, Machlif im chavero, ze sholech leze su'daso, ze sholech leze su'daso. Right? Very reasonable. Here's the problem. We skipped Rashi. That's the problem. We skipped Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. The problem will be even more when we see what Rashi says. What does Rashi say back in the Zion days? Machlav Yisudasai, in the narrow lines, a few lines before the next Mishnah, Ze ochel mze bepurim shoshana zu, uveshana so eid chavero imo. This year, In odd numbered years, Rev Abai bar Avin would eat by Rav Chanina bar Avin, and in even number years, Rav Chanina bar Avin would eat by Abai bar Avin, and that's how there were machlofi sudosayu. And the question is, what? So, I don't understand. If in year one I give you mishloach manos, in year two you give me mishloach manos, in year three I give you mishloach manos, in year four you give me mishloach manos, that works. So I have a great idea. I'll go to shul to listen to on Shabbos Parshas Vayikra, and you'll go to shul in Parshas Saf, and I'll go to shul in Parshas Shemini. You'll go to shul in Tazria. We'll switch off weeks. Does that work? I don't think so. What? you're a practical man, right? But all kidding aside, it's a real kash on Rashi. And Rashi says what they couldn't form a shalach manos. What they would do is 1 year, you know, one would invite the other, and the next year they would switch. Okay. From context, it's hard to imagine we're not talking about Shalach Manos. And if we're not talking about Shalach Manos, there's no Chiddush whatsoever. You should know that Amorami says sometimes they invite each other for Suda. That's very pretty. I do think it's a lead up to the next Gemara. It's a lead up to the next Gemara, V'chai V'nish V'asume.
Doesn't say that both of them were Yosei, they were the Shalach Manos.
Okay. So you could say it just means, right? So Dovi's saying, maybe we're just saying that whoever was the inviter, whoever was the host, see, he was Mekayim Mishloach Manos by having a guest. And you should know, you can Mekayim Mishloach Manos by having a guest, which presumably, so maybe that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. But you should know, you don't have to send Mishloach Manos. If I invite you to my table, I was ready Mekayim Mishloach Manos. Or it could be, that Rashi is saying more. That Rashi is saying that they were both Mekayim Mishloach Manos every year by having this system in place. And it wasn't just, if just 1 year Reuven invites Shimon, so Shimon is not Mekayim Mishloach Manos by being a guest at Reuven's table. But here, they swapped. Right? The language of the Gemara is that they swapped. Machlofi Sudos Ayla Adai, they swapped Sudos to one another. Now the Rashi says it doesn't mean in the same year, it means from year to year, but there was a swapping going on. There was a system. They knew. Even number of years you eat by me for Sudas Purim, odd number of years I eat by you for Sudas Purim. It could be what Rashi is saying is that's a minimal way. Again, if you can afford to do more, you should give independent Mishloach Manos, but you are minimally Mekayim, both parties, Mekayim Mishloach Manos by being a part of this type of system. Now the question is again, but how could that be? How could that be? I'm going to go to shul 1 week, you go to shul the next week. That doesn't work. So the answer probably is, if indeed this is Pshat and Rashi, then it's that's Maos HaLevi, who would say it's all about the gesture. I mean, clearly, according to for the Rambam Truma Sadeshin, if I'm a guest at your suda, I have not provided for your suda, unless I bring food along. But once you say it's gesture-driven, it could be the fact that we have a system and we switch off. That's friendship. That's friendship, yeah? What do you want to say?
Wouldn't it be obvious that they brought food along with them?
No. Like, no, why is that obvious?
Because otherwise they wouldn't fill the mist. Why should just adding that they switch off year by year? It doesn't make a difference. Either way they brought food with them, where do you see that?
Where?
The Iker Chasim is not safer.
Does that make sense otherwise?
Well, that's assuming. It's not a strong raya to just assume you're terrorists because there's no other terrorists. When we just had two other, especially when we just had two other terrorists. It may be, as Dovi is saying, that the point is just that you can mekayim the mishloach manos by hosting someone at your table instead of sending it to the house. Or alternatively, it's that by being a part of this system, both mekayim every year. It is possible that they brought food along. And certainly if you bring food along, they're both mekayim. But then you would expect to... I don't think there's any indication before or after in the Gemara either about the notion of bringing food along. There's an interesting idea, but I would want to see a stronger raya for that. Yeah.
Why are we assuming that it's Mishloach Manos? Because you might think that, you know, since also only this guy who made the food is eating the nose that you're eating with the suit that you're
maybe. Well, you would have had a have meaning that you can't be a guest at someone else's suit as per.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
you could be a guest.
You have to make a suit, let's say. Like, since you have a system in place, then you're both getting a suit every other year. So since you're eating.
So you're telling me remarkable chumrah. That if you're not, don't have a system of swapping, if I'm always a guest of someone else's suda's perm, I'm not yotze.
Yeah.
That's a radical chumrah. That qualifies your boast now as chumrah of the week. That's chumrah of the month. Maybe even chumrah of the year. Maybe. Because the whole flow of the last 10, 15 lines of the Gemara about Mishloach Manos. Now you're right. You are right that maybe I'm just biased because the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch explicitly presented as Mashiach Manos. Maybe Rashi doesn't think Mashiach Manos. Maybe. So I'm not convinced that what I said is Pshat, but according to Moshe Halevi, it is possible and it opens up thinking about the Machlokas between the Manos Halevi and the Trumas Hadeshim / Rambam as a question of is this giver-driven or receiver-driven? If you like Sprach, you can say, is it doing the Gavre or the Chifze? But even without that, is it? Are you Mishaer, Mishloach Manos, Mitzad HaNosein, or Mitzad HaMakabel? Right? Because for the Rambam, you're looking for a Chalois. You're looking for impact. I'm looking to actually provide for your Seuda. I'm looking to be a part of your Seuda. I'm giving food, I'll give you a tray of pickles and coleslaw, which you could put on your table. Whether you choose to or not, that's not my issue, but I provided for your seuda. So for the Rambam, it's very much makabel driven, or it's very much totsa'a driven. Whereas for the Malas HaLevi, it's nosein driven, and it's maisa driven. I have to make a gesture our friendship, which is why for the Manos HaLevi, Chasam Sofer suggests that what I give doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be meat, it doesn't have to be ready to eat, it doesn't have to be food at all. And perhaps, as we're suggesting, I can even be part of a swapping where some years I'm not even doing anything because there's still that friendship. And the poskim discuss the Bar Hetev in Osayin on the page talks about a quote from the Chuvas Yad Aron, not a commonly used sefer. I send it before Purim, but it arrives on Purim. Timing. So that may depend. I ship it to you. I FedEx it to you. Few days before Purim, vacuum pack by Mishloach Manos, I FedEx it to you, and it arrives on Purim. So my sending was not on Purim, your receipt was on Purim. That may depend on this. Or, let's put it more sharply, let's say you live in Yerushalayim, and you have a friend in Modi'in. Or you live in Beit Shemesh, and you have a friend in Yerushalayim. So one of you keeps Yudah, one of you keeps Tezvav. So which is Purim for Mishloach Manos? A finer shayla, right? So that may well also be driven by the same question, right? For the Rambam and Trumas Hadeshen, it's result oriented, it's totzah, it's makabel oriented. So presumably, I have to provide. Presumably, though we're on a little bit speculative territory now, but offhand you would say, according to the Rambam, the recipient has to get it on his Purim, whereas for the Manos HaLevi, if the Chasam Sofer is correct. Manos HaLevi is presenting an alternative halachic perspective on the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to be friendly, so then you have to be friendly when it's your Purim, not when it's the recipient. Well, yeah, thank you.
Why should that matter?
Thank you, Mr. Shemsky.
Does that mean just because they have the difference of what they get?
Well, but when should, let's say I leave Yerushalayim. I have a friend in Beit Meir. So he's keeping Purim Yudal, I'm keeping Purim Tezvav. So when should I send the Mishloach Manos? Don't avoid the Shaila, send someone in your town. But if you like to live on the edge, so then when should I send the Mishloach Manos? Again, with Purim for me, with Purim for him. Why? I have to. Unless I give you Mashal Manas today. I'm being friendly. It's beautiful. It's always a mitzvah to be friendly. But there's a special chiyuv. There's always a mitzvah to get stuck. There's a special chiyuv to get stuck in specific Yom Kippur. There's always a mitzvah to be friendly. There's a specific chiyuv to be friendly. It's a chiyuv to be friendly. A chiyuv to be friendly on Purim. So it does, if I gave you Mashal Manas a week ago, it doesn't help. That's to do it on Purim. Question, what do you mean by on Purim? Does on Purim mean the giver's Purim or the recipient's Purim? And then you can grab the garlic grate. Let's talk for a moment halacha lamasa, and then I want to expand this beyond Mashalach Manos. Halacha lamasa, you should remember that you're all over bar mitzvah, and you're all chayiv in all four mitzvahs of Purim. That includes Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avyonim. Matanos Avyonim doesn't have to be a lot of money. Mishloach Manos doesn't have to be a lot of food. But you should make sure that you give your own Mishloach Manos. Again, you don't have to give to all the other 26 guys in the shir. You should pick one Jew to whom you are giving real Mishloach Manos. We do Paskin, Machaber Paskins, like the Rambam, the Truman Sedeshin. You should give, ideally, basar, but certainly food. Shechter is wants to point out that by dint of this way of thinking, it doesn't have to be basar, but it should be the sort of food that conceivably one could serve at a seuda. So, perhaps includes dessert, but even if include, which itself is questionable, but we could talk about giving a babka. But to give like Mike and Ike's, it's a little bit of a stretch. Now, let me be clear. It doesn't mean if you want to give Mishloach Manos to 75 people, you don't have to give out 75 salamis. You could give 70 people candy and give 5 people food. Because remember, the chiyuv is Mishloach Manos Ishlo Ehu. But ideally, I would suggest that at least one to one Jew, you give two portions of real food. You can get someone a roll and a package of salami for one person, for one friend. Once upon a time, it used to be, I don't know, still the minig, used to be a lot of guys in YU would go buy each other breakfast on Purim morning, after Megillah, as Mamash Machbi Zusayev, go buy the guy bagel, eggs and cheese, the whole nine yards, Lama Mahajan with a drink, yeah, way more than 2 manas there, you buy for each other, you pay for each other's breakfast, and you're Mekayim Mishloach Manos. You want to spend a few more dollars and get someone a package of salami and a bottle of mustard, package of salami and a roll, figure out whatever you want to get, package of salami and some coleslaw, some pickles. So that, again, it doesn't yump to spend a lot of money. But you should see to it that you give at least 2 real manos to one other Jew. And you should give $5-$10 to tzedakah over the course of Purim, either over the course of Purim, or give it to the Gabbai stock in advance to be handed, give it to Rav Yerushal, to be handed out on Purim. And speaking of Matanos Avyonim, let's expand a little bit. I want to show you did we take a look at the Rambam yet? About Matanos Avyonim? A very, very intriguing Rambam. Everyone quotes this Rambam. The fundraising letters this week are all correctly quoting this Rambam. Halacha Tezvav is Su'uda and Mishloach Manos. Halacha Tezayin is Matanos Avyonim. Halacha Yud Zayin, he puts the pieces together. Mutal Adam Laharbos Matanos Avyonim. If I only have enough money to spend the bare minimum on all the mitzvahs, so I spend the bare minimum on all the mitzvahs. If Megillah doesn't have to cost me anything, give it to someone else in the Megillah. Su'uda, unless I'm invited out, Suda is going to cost me some money. Mishal costs me some money. And Tazavim will cost me some money. If I'm only at the point where all I can spend is the bare minimum, spend the bare minimum. And let's say I'm at the point in my life where I can, Baruch Hashem, spend more than the bare minimum. So you should spend more than the bare minimum on all of the mitzvahs. Rambam already told us that. He told us Suda should be Suda na Pia Shatim Tzayado. By Mishal of Manos, he said, Paul Marbar, Lashal of Rangam Mishal. But then he says, even though you should, if you can, spend more than the bare minimum on Su'udah and Mishloach Manos, but you should be spending even more on Matanos Avyonim. When you allocate your budget for Purim, you should give disproportionate primacy to Matanos Avyonim. Right? Why? If you would stop right here, we'd say we're not surprised. It sounds like the right moral thing to do. Why? Because it's more important to make someone else happy than to indulge myself. That's what I probably would have assumed. You should care more about other people. On the other hand, Mishloach Manos, he may not be in real need the way the Evyon is. But look at the Rambam does not say that reason. That reason is true. He has a different reason in mind. She'ein sham simcha gedola u'mefora. There is no greater, more glorious simcha, no bigger simcha than l'sameach levaniim v'yisomim v'almanos v'gerim. And to raise the spirits of people who are feeling down, people who are feeling out on the outs and disenfranchised. Shamisameach leva umlolim ha'elu doma l'shchina. The greatest simcha is to make someone else happy, because when you make someone else happy, when you lift up someone who's feeling broken, you're doma l'shchina. You're acting in a godlike fashion, because that Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as lahachayos ruach shefalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives the spirit of people who are feeling low. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives the hearts of people who are feeling crushed. Now, what's remarkable about that Rambam is he didn't say his simcha is more important than my simcha. That might be true, but he said something even more essential. He said, my simcha is more important than my simcha. Or put differently, through Matanos Avyonim, it's not just you're making someone else happy. Through Matanos Avyonim, you're making you happy. And your simcha will increase more from taking care of someone else than from filling your stomach. And just to be clear, we are not anti-filling your stomach. We are pro-filling your stomach. Appropriately, there is a mitzvah of Sudas Purim. And we said, if you're kefiyesh timsei sudana, kefiyesh timsei yado. We are not uncomfortable with spending on Sudas Purim. We are not uncomfortable with enjoying a beautiful, delicious Sudas Purim. You should. But you need to also have your priority. It's not binary. It's not either or. But you have to have a clarity about priorities. There is simcha to be found in food and drink. And we have not only encouraged, but obligated to seek that out on Purim. To find simcha through Suuda. To find, and as we saw already, flowing from the Rambam Halacha Tezvav, Suda Mishloach Manos is Suda Deluxe. So Sudas Purim, Simcha Sakeres, physical simcha, is a critical element of Purim. But understand that's not going to be the greatest source of your simcha. The greatest source of your simcha, the most glorious source of your simcha, is the joy you get from helping other people. And that's why in the recipe for Purim, there's, a helping of Simchas HaGuf, and there's an even greater helping of Simchas HaNefesh, the spiritual joy that comes from helping other people. And Rabbi Willig, many years ago, pointed out that the Rambam also explains why this is. Why is it that the Simcha that comes from helping other people is greater than the Simcha that comes from enjoying yourself? Why? Well, so it seems, once you begin to think about it, it seems sort of reasonable. But why? So he will point out, read the next line. The Rambam explained why. Sheh, because the reason why the simcha is greater when you help others is because when you become a man for others, you're dom l'shchina. Now you're acting like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no needs whatsoever. He's the Shochenad. Maron v'kadosh shemo, he's the highest of the high. And yet, as Dakar Shval Ruach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in those who have less than he does. He has no needs whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about others. He's never taken care of his own needs. He has no needs. So if I can see beyond my own needs and beyond my own pleasure and seek to make other people happy, I'm accessing my Valach T'Bedracha. I'm accessing the Koach of being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, Rabosai, is an infinite simcha. Because the simcha of eating is a simcha asaguf. And that's great. But it is finite. Your stomach is a physical, finite entity. There's only so much you can eat There's only so much you can enjoy. Only so many hormones your body can produce that give you that sense of joy. That will come from a good steak, like a shmak of Purim Suda. But the simcha of helping others is a simcha sanefesh. It's a simcha of plugging into your Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is infinite. There's no end to how much simcha sanefesh you can have. And then we can even take this one final step. And that is the fourth mitzvah. So far we saw that Sudas Purim is clearly clear mitzvah simcha. That's classic Basar V'yayin like any simcha yantif. Mishloach Manos in the Rambam's thinking is an expansion of Sudas Purim. Matanos of Yonim, we just saw the Rambam says, is a mitzvah of simcha, of my own simcha. Being misameach others is part of my simcha. And finally, let's take a look at the missing mitzvah. What's the one mitzvah we can take a look at? Mikra Megillah. What the Rambam said in Mikra Megillah. So here, actually, although the last two prakim were mostly about Mikra Megillah, we need to go one more parak deeper to find how Mikra Megillah, I believe, fits into this pattern. Because the next two prakim, Gimel and Dalet, are Hilchas Hanukkah. Parak Gimel is about the halachas of Halal. Remember when we learned it's Hanukkah, so we saw for the Rambam, the two major mitzvahs, Halal v'Hodah, are Halal and Hadlakas Neiros. So Parak Dalet about Hadlakas Neiros, Parak Gimel is about Halal, Halal on Hanukkah, and Halal in general. Parak Gimel Lachavav. V'lo Halal shel Hanukkah, b'vadu shem edivrei sofrim. It's not only Halal on Hanukkah, There's always a Kriyas Megillah on other days as well. Which other days? He goes on to say, quotes from the Brisa from the Gemara, 18 days in Eretz Yisrael when you have a Halal Shalem, 8 days of Sukkot, including Shmi Atzeres, 8 days of Chanukah, first day of Pesach, and Shavuos. 18 days altogether. And now he wants to figure out what happened to the other possibilities. He quotes from the Gemara. Habar Shayim Kippur, Ein Behen Halal. The Gemara wonders. They also Yamim Tovim. So Gemara's language is Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefalim V'Atem Amim Shira. How could it be? The books of life and death are open. You're going to say Shira doesn't make sense. So it sounds from the Gemara like it's inappropriate. The Rambam saw that Gemara's poetry and he translates it into prose. L'fi Shehein Yimei Tshuva V'Yira Lo Yimei Simcha Yisei. There are days of the strong element of tshuva, strong element of mora, of pira, and therefore not days of simcha, you say excessive simcha. I mean, there is simcha Rosh Hashanah Kippur. That's important to understand Rosh Hashanah Kippur. That's why Ram would all know that that's Rosh Hashanah. And they are, there is simcha Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Kippur expressed it differently. But not enough for challah. The somber element sort of qualifies the simchas yantif, it tamps it down a little bit, and that's why there's enough of a shir to have a suda on Rosh Hashanah, but not enough of a shir to have a chiyav halal. So halal is driven by simcha. And not only simcha, but simcha yisera. And then take a look at the next line. V'lo tiknu halal b'purim, why does no halal on Purim? The Gemara raises that question. The Gemara has three answers. The other two answers are Zionistic. Either that unlike Hanukkah, Purim didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, or unlike Hanukkah, Purim resulted in Yeshua but not Geula, in the sense that it saved the Jews from destruction and from annihilation, but did not result in Jewish sovereignty, unlike Hanukkah, which did. But then the Gemara has a third answer, I believe it's Rav Nachman, and that's the answer that Rambam quotes, which is, there is a Chiv Halal on Purim. It's just that we do it differently. Instead of the standard Halal HaMitzri, we use a special halal called Mikra Megillah. Kriyas HaHalal, Kriyas HaMegillah, Hi HaHalal. Now one could dispute this, but the simple reading of the Rambam, coming off the heels of there's no halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because it's not Simcha Yisera, and on Purim there is a halal, sounds like there is a Simcha Yisera, which is expressed through, instead of the halal, the usual betetzis from Mitzrayim, banisim gluyim, the halal, the simcha yisera of Purim, is expressed through Mikra Megillah, which is the halal about nisim, the star. So it's what emerges is that all four mitzvahs of Purim, they look very different, they access different modalities, different parts of a person, they access your physical pleasure, they access the joy of giving to others, and they access the joy of learning and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in obvious ways, which is exactly the sense in which Mikra Megillah is the appropriate halal for Purim. All of those different modalities are part of the very rich, multidimensional simcha of Purim. I'll close with this. Rabbi Daniel Feldman many years ago pointed out that many poskim assume that you're allowed to get married on Purim. So, logistically speaking, complicated to get married on Purim. A lot going on. But if you live in a small shtetl, and there's only a handful of families you even give him a shalach manos to, well, daven vasikin, lein megillah, you spend an hour on shalach manos, and then until the suit, you have hours and hours, so we'll shtel chuppah, and then the suit of Purim will be a chasana suit. Is that appropriate or not? On Chol HaMoed, it's forbidden. We learned by the beginning of the year. Right? Ein ma'arvin, simcha b'simcha. Many posts can assume that's not a problem in Purim. Hayitachin, the soy mitzvah simcha. To our fellow point out, the answer is the simcha of Purim. The simcha of Purim, nothing is a stira to the simcha of Purim, because the simcha of Purim is universal. The simcha of Purim is, as we saw, it encompasses so many different modes of expression. Physical simcha, simcha of giving, simcha of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the simcha of Purim is about everything. The simcha of Purim is about Nisim Nistarim. It's about noticing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just there at individual events. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in everyday details of my life. He's peeking out from between the cracks, even when in the ins and outs of mundane life. Goof or the symbol, that perhaps is why the simcha of Purim is so great, why you're eating more basar and yayin than any other time. And the simcha of Purim is so overwhelming because it's meant, Purim is a day when you notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every aspect of our life. That's why we express the simcha through so many different mitzvahs, and that's why perhaps there is no such thing as ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, because any other simcha you can imagine is consistent with the simcha of Purim. The simcha of Purim is a celebration of political salvation. Simcha of Purim is a celebration of finding the shidduch. Simcha of Purim is a celebration of personal ins and outs. It includes everything because it's about the nisim nistarim. So there's no ein ma'arvin. And we need all of these, this whole suite of diverse mitzvahs in order to capture the incredible simcha of Purim. And that, Rabbosai, is the sugya of Shalach Manos expanded.